Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
Idly hey!
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished!
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
It's another episode of The Brett Allen Show. This time with the correct spelling, where we talk to your favorite actors from film and television, music, comedy, more. We are talking with actor Josh Brenner. And I have been looking forward to this conversation for a while. Just the amount of projects that he has been a part of. We're talking The Mighty Ones. We're talking DuckTales. We're talking Ninja Turtles, Silicon Valley. The list goes on and on. Josh, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Oh, it is an honor and a delight, sir. So nice to be with you.
Yes. Well, you don't have a big gulp in your hand, but that's okay. You recently made an appearance on some colleagues of mine, the Blockbuster Mentality, and I heard the conversation, and I was like, I would really love to talk to Josh. So thanks for hanging out.
That was such a blast. I'm delighted to know that you guys are pals.
Awesome. We're really good friends as far as virtually goes. We've never met in person, but we often have the privilege of having the same guest on, and so nice. They're very cool guys. I think you guys talked about Noises Off. I think that was the movie.
We did, yeah. I don't know if that was right up their alley, but they were very good sports about it, and we deep dived theater together, which was fun for me and I hope tolerable for them.
Yeah, well, I actually was a part of that play in high school, and then I got to do it again in college. And there was a movie version of it. Well, now that we're talking about it, you have a pretty big theater background. Let's start there, because Noises Off, it started out as a play, and then I think it was a movie with
Michael Caine.
Bronson Pinchot. Was he in that as well? Or was Michael Caine? I'm trying to remember, because
the movie is Michael Caine and Carol Burnett and Mary Lou Henner, and it's a great John Ritter. It's a great cast. Yeah. Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, it was a really good. Both of them were a lot of fun. So let's talk about this. Just sort of overarching theme here of you being a storyteller. What was it that sort of got you into this business of becoming a storyteller?
It was middle school theater. My sixth grade girlfriend decided to do the school play, and I hurt my knee in Little League, so I decided to follow her and do the school play. And then I think, like a lot of these stories go, I just had this incredible teacher, mentor, director combination. These wonderful theater geniuses, Larry Dockslager and Gail Silver, and they sort of took me under their wing and kind of taught me everything I know, and I just became addicted to it.
Yeah, that seems to be the case for most folks. They just have this one opportunity, and then all of a sudden they get bitten by the bug. Now,
the bug.
You got your start in that, and then you started booking projects and sort of kind of hit your stride early, unlike most. It was kind of one thing after another. Was there ever a moment where you sort of realized, hey, you know, I'm really good at this, and this is something that I'm going to be doing for quite some time? Was there a key project for you where you kind of felt that moment, or has it just always been project to project where you've just sort of experienced what I consider to be success in this crazy industry that you're a part of?
Yeah, it's funny. I think sometimes I feel like I'm still waiting for that to arrive, that moment where I'm like, oh, I'm good. But I never quite feel comfortable, you know, when as soon as one project ends, you can ask my wife, I start to get a little panicked, and then I really bother her as I start to freak out about getting back to work on the next thing. But yeah, fortunately, I've been pretty lucky since getting started out here in LA, and mostly been able to string some stuff together and filling in the gaps with, as you mentioned before, some voiceover stuff. And my wife and I are writing partners, so you know, try to stay busy in a bunch of different kind of ways, so that those moments in between don't become too freaky.
Yeah, I know, especially after like, say, the last couple of years, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
exactly.
You mentioned that you and your wife, you work together, you're writing partners and things like that. You work on a lot of things together. Does she have a lot of input in so far as what projects that you're involved in? Or do you just kind of work together and make a great team?
We met doing improv comedy together. My wife is Megan Falcone. She's also an actor and writer. And we met doing improv comedy together and just kind of kept on working together, you know, writing sketches together and performing together. And then, you know, as we've gotten a little older and more boring, you know, pitching projects together and writing pilots together and we wrote an animated movie together recently for Warner Brothers. So a little bit of everything. And then, yeah, in terms of the acting side, we're constantly giving each other input, and hers is much more valuable than mine about, you know, things that that keep us moving forward. So, yeah, we are definitely creative partners in all senses.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting. Which of the two is the one to keep the train on the tracks when it comes to putting content and stuff together? Because I imagine when you get two creatives in a room like that, it could just be limitless conversations about things and how we should do this and do that. Or is it just kind of an equilibrium sort of situation where you both just sort of balance each other out as creatives? I love talking to couples that work together because I find it so fascinating, because normally it's one or the other who is involved in the project. But then to have two people like your wife who's just, again, she's been a part of some great things as well.
I definitely feel like we complement each other pretty well and have certainly grown into that, where we both know what somebody's strengths are going to be. She, in terms of keeping us on the rails, she is definitely much better at keeping us moving forward. Like, I'll get bogged down in like a story thing and start spinning, and she'll be like, please stop. Let's just move forward. We can just get through that. And then she'll find the solution that like keeps us going so that we can actually submit something and get it in on time. I would like, you know, cry myself to sleep at night and, you know, in the fetal position and nothing would ever get done. But she definitely keeps us moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. I just find that dynamic so interesting. And I've talked to several people in the industry who have working partners together or are married or whatever the case might be. And it's always fun to kind of hear how that process works. I'm looking at your resume here and just sort of some of the highlights. As you mentioned, you've done a lot of voiceover work and you have a couple voiceover projects coming out, which we'll talk about here in just a couple minutes. But doing the on-screen thing and then the voiceover thing, do you have a preference between the two? Do you enjoy one maybe over the other? Not leading the witness here, but I'm just kind of curious if one is more fascinating to you or the other, or you just enjoy working because you've done a lot?
Well, yeah, not to take the cop-out answer, but I really do enjoy both so much. And
sure.
The big difference is that, you know, voiceover is so quick. Like, it is so quick and easy. I mean from our perspective as actors, from an animator's perspective, from a director's perspective, it is so much work and so painstaking. But for me, I get to really just go in and like have fun on the mic for an hour, a couple hours, and that's sort of my job. And then I get to come back in and do, you know, ADR or pickups and see all the incredible work that animators and directors and storytellers sure. have done. So that is, it's an easy job, and so fun. By comparison, I should say easier job. I shouldn't say easy job. But by comparison, being on set, you know, that's, you know, sometimes 12-hour days, 5 days a week. It's much more involved. You're much more in, a part of the process and, you know, depending on, you know, what role it is, what episode you're shooting, whatever, you can be there for every minute of production or, or not, I guess. But it's just a different level of involvement and a different, just so much more is required of you. I mean, you're up and out early to get in the makeup chair, to get into wardrobe, to be on set, learning lines. It's, you know, it's a lot more involved. But with that comes a lot, you know, I think it can be really rewarding if you like what you're working on. VO, I don't know. It's just, VO to me is always like dessert. It's just fun. It's always a delight to do it. And because you don't have to go through all that, it doesn't feel like it requires quite as much of you, which I'm lazy. So, you know, that works for me.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, plus probably, you know, with the voiceover work, you know, I have heard that that's easier in the sense of, you know, you come in for a few hours and then you're done for the day. And then like you might come back a few weeks or a few months later, maybe, and sort of, you know, finish up or whatever the case might be. You have a couple projects in the works right now. We can talk about this. I asked about Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie. My 7-year-old is a massive fan of all of these animated series, Ninja Turtles, and there's been several iterations of them. And this is, from what I understand, this is a Nickelodeon project, correct? This one.
Yep.
Let's talk about that because you play the iconic Donnie. How fun was this to work on? I mean, I can't imagine how much fun it would have to be.
It is definitely one of my favorite things that I've gotten to work on. As you said, it's a Nickelodeon series that we did, called Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that aired for a couple seasons.
Yes.
And truly the most fun. I mean, some of the most surreal moments were, you know, seeing the first bits of animation where our voices were coming out of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, for so many, I think for all of us growing up, like, we were all TMNT kids. And, like, I literally was home in Texas and found my TMNT lunchbox from when I was a kid. So, huge fan. And then seeing those characters with your voice coming out of it, it's like truly surreal. And I mean, the cast we got to work with was incredible. Omar Benson Miller, Brandon Michael Smith, Ben Schwartz, Kat Graham, Eric Bauza, just incredible people. And our creators and showrunners, Ant Ward and Andy Suriano, just did such cool stuff with the characters and the universe, and the animation was incredible. So just so fun to work on. And then, you know, it seemed like the series was maybe like winding down. Nickelodeon was doing other things with the property. But then we got to do this movie, which was such an awesome little cherry on top. And I think the story's incredible. A friend of mine, Tony Gamaloba, wrote it along with his wife. They're also creative writing partners, Becky. And I think it's so good. The first time I read it, I honestly was tearing up. It's so emotional and well-written. And I'm really excited for it. I think people are going to really dig it.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, I mean, I'm excited. I look forward to what that turns out to be. Again, sort of just looking at your work and sort of all the things that you've done comedy, drama, just a lot of different things, and had a very great career.
Well, thanks.
Absolutely, yeah. What is some of the best advice that you've been given as a storyteller throughout the trajectory of your career that has sort of stood with you and sort of sustained you throughout your journey as a performer?
You know, I think back to that same mentor who I mentioned before, Larry Doxlager, who actually wrote me a note, I think when I graduated college, maybe when I graduated high school, I can't remember exactly when, with a list of things to do as you go out into this world and pursue a career in this kind of stuff. And the number one thing that he said that always sticks with me is just about being kind and not forgetting what you came here for. You know, as a theater kid, I did it because I loved it. I did it because it was fun to do theater with fun people and friends. And I've been really lucky that I've gotten to work with really lovely people over the years and have a lot of fun doing it. I think there are sections of this business that get a little caught up in the other side of it. And it can sometimes be a drag. So I would say that's the number one thing, is just appreciate it. Know that we're all very lucky to be doing this, and remember to to keep that front of mind and be nice while you're doing it.
Yeah, I love that, because as broad and as big as this industry is, it's also very small as far as like who you might work with or come across, you know, whether it be on the casting side or the production side, because you never know who you might work with, right? Like,
absolutely,
it's just
yeah.
really unpredictable. Again, working on some of these projects, I think, you know, there are just a lot of highlights. Of course, I kind of joked a little bit early on about Silicon Valley. That was such a great show, Mike Judge. And just, I mean, the entire cast, we've had a few folks on from that. I want to talk about that experience because there, it was such a unique show, sort of life, art imitating life a little bit. And then some of the topics that you covered, do you have any standout moments on that project that were just fun for you, that, sort of have stayed with you, since then and throughout all the other things that you've done?
Oh man, there are so many, as you can imagine. It was, I mean, you know, that's really lightning striking and hitting the lottery, whatever metaphor you want to use. But to end up on a show like that, that does resonate with people, is popular, is well received, and as fun to work on as it was, definitely a lot to be grateful for, and I miss it, of course. One of the moments that I always think about is very early on. I think it was at the premiere of season one. We went and did a premiere up in like Palo Alto, and you know, we're in this kind of like big theater, and there are all these like, it's like the setup very cool. There's all these couches and stuff, and someone comes up to my wife and I and introduces himself and says, you know, he really liked the show, and I thought it was really funny, and you know, be in touch. And he hands me his card, and his email address is craig@craigslist.com. And I was like, oh, this is so weird. Like, this, like, it did become a little bit of an Ouroboros where, like, the show had this feedback system with actual Silicon Valley. And, I mean, people, like, did spend time with the Elon Musks of the world and, you know, the various and sundry characters. I got to meet Sergey Brin at one point. Just like kind of crazy how, you know, us making fun of that world also became part of that world. And as you said, yeah, life imitating art and vice versa.
Yeah. Well, we're about 45 minutes from that area where you portray a lot of your scenes.
Oh, so,
and
so, you know, it's too close to home.
It's very close. Yeah. In fact, I think I was out there at one point and I was just kind of Googling around. I mean, obviously, I don't think you guys filmed there, but you did such a good job of sort of bringing that world to life and things like that. Just such a great show. I tell you, my friend, you have just, everything that you've done is just really great. And I'm excited to see what's next for you. One last question. I know the world has been crazy the last couple of years, but hopefully you've, outside of doing the voiceover work, you've been able to get back out there really and just start working on things again, and life is as normal as it can be, I assume.
It's heading that direction. It's starting to get back. Yeah, I got to work on a couple movies this past summer and fall. I'm not sure where those are or what I can say about them, but hopefully in the coming months there will be some stuff coming out on that front. And yeah, my favorite thing that I got to do during the pandemic, also maybe ever, was an episode of Mythic Quest. For those who don't know it, it's an Apple TV Plus show.
Great show.
It's a great show, and there's an episode in season two that was written by the incredible Craig Mazin, who you know of Chernobyl fame, and directed by Rob McElhenney, who you know of from It's Always Sunny. And with some, I got to act with some amazing actors, Shelley Hennig and Michael Cassidy. Anyways, check it out. It's called Backstory is the episode. And check out the whole show. It is so great and so underrated. And I'm a fan in addition to having been lucky enough to work on it.
Yeah, we did some press for that when it first came out. So it's just a great show. amazing body of work, and I'm excited to see these other projects that are coming out. Josh, thanks for hanging out with us today. I appreciate it.
Such a pleasure, Brett. It's so nice to meet you, and thank you for having me on.
That brings today's show to a close.
Goodly-do.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.